Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and holy shnikes, something finally happened and changed. It's earth-shatteringly crazy different going on this week, especially with the vibes of a certain player. We're going to be talking about that in the very near future. But Ken, first thing, how are things up north of the border? Are you still breathing? Because we're getting nothing but smoke down here, and it smells like campfire all day, every day. You're not just in New York.
Yes, actually, you know what? We had to cancel some baseball games today, actually, here, and it might affect the game that I have to coach tomorrow. I heard rumors that it might be Friday is the time that it'll be cleared by then.
Yeah, same exact thing going over here across the lake from us, from you too, because that's exactly what's going on. I didn't even think about it when I got on my bike to go to work this morning.
And you bike to work?
I live within 4 miles. I usually drive, I have one of those one-wheel skateboards that's 18 miles an hour, but my back's been bugging me a little bit, probably from carrying another team. But in the midst of that, I was, you know, my wife and my daughter both have e-bikes. So I was able to borrow theirs in the midst of everything the last week and, you know, at least get on that while my back was bothering me. But I got outside this morning and I was like, whoa, somebody's really on the campfire, which I live in the suburbs. It happens a lot. And there's bonfires and people, you know, burning their cardboard and stuff. I didn't think anything of it and got on the move.
I didn't notice it anywhere like as well until it was yesterday. Actually, a package arrived at my front door, and it was from my wife. Actually, it's from Canada Post, and I had to sign off and pay some of the the duties. And the guy's like, "Yeah, you know, you can smell. You got a really sensitive nose." And I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "Yeah, I can still smell the fires." And I was like, "What fire?" They said, "Oh no, the fire that's going on. Like, can't remember where it is in Northern Ontario and Quebec and all these other places." I'm like, really?
No, I didn't. That's what it didn't that really, is.
It didn't hit me until it was like, I think yesterday when we were running errands after work. And I'm like, someone cooking something? I'm like, oh, geez,
so the fun part about this. Smoke. Yeah, the fun part about this, apparently there was plenty of Blue Jays fans that were at the game yesterday evening that were quite upset that in the midst of an air quality alert, because that's what's going on with wildfires and everything, that there were, you know, they had the roof open. Apparently the players didn't seem to mind. They had the whole game. So now today, like you said, here in Rochester, New York, and I'm literally directly across the pond from all of you. Same thing. Kids' activities for school, all that kind of stuff. Anything that was an outdoor activity has been canceled around here because of all
pretty much
air quality alerts. So
now I mean,
crazy.
Maybe we'll figure out something like with whole like firefighting from the forest perspective. Cause I'm a layman because I'm thinking, oh, it shouldn't be too bad to control, but I guess helicopters can only carry so much of that water or liquid to drop. Yeah. That you know, all those different wildfires, you don't need one bucket. I guess you need a bunch of them to do it, and it's not as easy as it looks, as they say. So I mean, hopefully everyone is safe, and especially for our listeners, especially if you're there, you know, please be safe and please get out of your home if they say get out of your home. You know,
you could
always listen to us on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer. You don't have to do it at your house. You can do it on your way to work.
Yeah. Insurance is a wonderful thing. Don't stay in your
home. Don't stay in your home. Exactly.
Where you're told. Exactly.
We got some interesting stuff going on. We got some stuff going on, Craig.
It might not be the worst thing that our guests canceled on us this weekend. And Jason's busy at our baseball with the kids this weekend. Shout out to Cameron and West Virginia Blue and Gold teams. Well, good luck with your games and whatnot, along with obviously the Lynn Valley Little League that Jason is very intimate in with his children and his activities, along with apparently he is trying to get us some friends in the what is called the Next Batter Up. So check out that app. It's fun. goof around stuff for kids, walk up baseball music and whatnot. So more toys and more things to have fun with on a baseball field. But absolutely, let's start by talking about things that aren't, somebody's not having fun on a baseball field at the moment. And this is something that's been lingering in Blue Jay fandom for a while, Ken. And that is what to do with Alek Manoah. Over the last couple days, that question has been answered for Toronto Blue Jays fans, and they pulled a full Roy Halladay, like we were talking about a few weeks ago. He has not only been demoted, but he was shipped right to the Player Development Center in Dunedin, which, honestly, if you're talking about the best place for a player to get their mindset, doesn't matter what level it is right now, that is the state-of-the-art facility for Toronto Blue Jays training. Ken, how are you feeling after this move at this point? Yeah, I think something had to be done. I was a little shocked that this was actually what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been talking about the last few episodes where there's just something going on with Manoah and we don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a mental thing. It's clearly not a physical thing unless he's injured and not disclosing that to anybody. Yeah. But he's struggling with his control, right? He's walking a lot of guys. He still strikes out a fair bit, but it's just not consistent, right? And, you know, he's only 1-7 this year, which is really unfortunate from being almost like a Cy Young Award winner last season. So, yeah. Well, I knew we were talking about him getting demoted, but I didn't really think it would, like you said, happen just now. I don't know how, now, it's probably due at this point because there's got to be something that we don't know because that, he doesn't look like the Alek Manoah that almost won the MVP last season.
Yeah, this is a guy that over the short tenure that he's had in Major League Baseball has been nothing but dominant to the point where, you know, he was always one of the guys that were, you know, clearly on the opposing team's like lookout list. We have to face Alek Manoah this week. What are we going to do to get around Alek Manoah for this, you know, outing? It was one of those things that was just expected. This year, he comes in a little sluggish in spring training, but I wouldn't have said there was a giant red flag or anything.
Yeah, kind of, we all thought that. We just thought it was just struggling out of spring training. And you think, okay, yeah, they'll just loosen up and just get their heads straight. And once the season starts, they'll be doing it. But yeah, I think you know what it is. I think maybe the other teams just don't fear him as much as they did before, right? Like you said, maybe they're not either falling for some of his stuff.
It's a mixed match of, it's a Molotov cocktail of what has gone wrong for Alek Manoah. And when you really dive into it, it's staggering how night and day it has been from his, you know, what Blue Jays fans have gotten to see from Alek Manoah. They have gotten to look forward to every fifth day, seeing him just come out and just do what we've been seeing from Kevin Gausman every fifth day, you know, and to that point, that's the whole flip side of the coin that we're going to talk about in a bit. The next piece to that whole thing is, like I said, it's amazing how sharp of a change it was. This is a guy that hadn't had over 3.22 ERA in his first two seasons with the Blue Jays. Yes, the 2021 season was not a full season, but it was 111 innings. So that's a very big sample size. You know what you got. Maybe he goes up and down a little bit, but it's not going to be a big change from that. The following season, his first full season in 2022, complete monster on the mound.
Yeah.
No fear. Almost 200 innings with a 2.24 ERA. That is no fear personified, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean,
but
I'm just, oh boy. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Continue. It's the control. And you hit the nail on the head. He is walking a ton more people in 200 innings almost last season. He only walked 51 people, Ken, for a whole season in 200. Oh, sorry. I looked at the wrong thing, I think. Where'd it go? I lost it. No, I was reading the right column. I was right. 51 people. You want to take a wild guess on how many he has so far in only 58 innings in 2023?
So he has 51 last season walks?
Yep.
Oh, geez, I don't know. Maybe matching that right now, like 50-ish?
You're not wrong. He's got 42. Seriously? He's got 42 walks this season in a quarter of the innings.
Wow.
So that's...
Who catches for him?
And it's been both at this point.
Oh, he's tried both Jensen and Kirk, and correct, still no difference.
And then obviously in the midst of this same question, whatever issues are ailing him, whether you said, like I said, it could be a million different things at once that are really balling together and causing all these problems. But at the major league level, was Pete Walker going to find the right sauce one day for him to be able to, you know, just go from this to that? Probably not, because I think this is one of those things that I'm not saying they're going down to send him to the minor leagues right now like they just did to completely tear Alek Manoah down. This is we know you're not broken, but what's the hang up, right? It's how do you get back to consistency? Because you look at those first, you know, like I said, that was 300 innings worth of work at the major league level.
It's a really good level, yeah.
Exactly. That's over the, you know, his first year and a half in Major League Baseball. I think we're looking at the real Alek Manoah. This wasn't just all of a sudden that, you know, this is the real Alek Manoah and he just showed up and doesn't know how to throw a baseball. That is not the case here. You knew what you were getting. So in the midst of this, something has went awry, whether it's a hitch in his mechanics. Like you said, something's going on between the ears that he just can't get that confidence back that he had the last 300 innings or whatever it is.
Well, that's what I've always wondered, though, Craig, because when you had such a dominant season that Manoah had last season, you know, I think there goes to that expectation where now you got to step it up even more, or people expect the same performance out of you. And you might slip one or two games, but the fact that he's struggling ever since he started the season.
Yeah. And then what's the catch?
Yeah.
And to your point a minute ago, maybe they're finding a way to square him up. Maybe they're just not letting chasing the ball like we've talked over a few of the last episodes. Whatever that might be, it could be, like I said, a bunch of these things adding up. But the big thing right now is he needs to throw strikes to get back on track. And that's not what you've been getting. So how do you learn how to throw more strikes? Okay. Maybe you need some time not on a major league pitching mound. Go somewhere where you can cut out some of the noise and go pitch in Dunedin in rookie ball for a few days or even weeks or whatever it takes to get him physically, mentally ready to come back to this rotation. Because everybody knows that he can do this. I don't think there's any question in this whole thing. And the Blue Jays have one of the best examples in baseball history of how this works right. And that is in the late, great Roy Halladay. They sent him down after a mediocre start at the major league level, all the way to what at the time was single A plus Dunedin, which is now a single A rookie level baseball team. But that's just because they restructured the minor leagues a little bit in Major League Baseball. In the midst of that, though, Roy Halladay came back and within 2 years won a Cy Young Award. So the right things can happen. It can happen. And I don't think there's anything questioning the fact that Alek Manoah has the work ethic and the bulldog mentality, just like Roy Halladay, to be successful. What do you think, Ken, as far as, do you think now that he has removed himself from that level, cut out some of that noise, that maybe we can march to the point where he gets back on track and gets that confidence?
Yeah, I think so, because I think he needs to get away, like you said, just for, like I said, maybe that level of expectation we just talked about where people are expecting him to be the same, and he just needs to refocus on it, man. So maybe, like you said, taking some time to go train Dain for a bit. They didn't say he was actually playing on the Bisons, did they? Or they just said they're just going to send him down there just for a little bit of time to recover.
He is going to play for the Dunedin Blue Jays at some point over the next couple of weeks. They didn't say what day he was starting last. I was actually looking for it right before we went live. I didn't see it blatantly anywhere to that point. Excuse me. And I think a lot of that is they're just treating it as like, hey, you've been demoted. Let's let you be you for a few minutes here. Come to the training center. Let's figure some things out. Come up with a plan. Because I think that is the big part. Whenever this kind of a thing happens, I bet you the Blue Jays had this plan in place a week ago, 2-3 weeks ago, hey, if things don't progress, you know, maybe I doubt they were talking to him about that plan until this just happened, or maybe they were hinting at it, toying with it. I would think even a guy in his stature over the last 2 years, he would have thought this was coming, because the other thing is he's never been sent down before. He came up to the major leagues, got added onto the 40-man roster, so he has all of his minor league options, Ken, intact on his contract. The Blue Jays could have sent him down 5 weeks ago without any giving a hoot or anything. It would just, we think this is what's best for you. Deal with it. They could have been like, so, and that's, the Blue Jays have done really good job at developing their talent. So I would think they tried everything humanly possibly could to get him right at the major league level. And unfortunately, you've only seen glimpses and pieces to it. So now how do you take that and amplify the glimpses of good that we've been seeing over the last few weeks? I think this is where you go. Let him refocus, yeah. Retool, move forward.
Hey, Craig, let me ask you then. So now that we have, like, so now, like I said, I stopped watching baseball for a bit, started watching over the last few seasons. And now we have, so back in the day, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the pitcher and the catcher. Who's deciding what pitch to throw? Is it the, it's communication with the pitcher and the catcher, right? Like the catcher might say this and the pitcher might say no and all that sort of stuff.
But that's
right?
What it was. It was a, no, I don't like that. Next one. And then they hold down in a location, whether they're, you know, telling it to go left, right, up, down.
Yeah.
All that. But it was the catcher always calling those balls. But I don't think I've seen Manoah receiving the pitch com stuff from Kirk or Jansen. Not like doing a la Chris Bassett, where he's got the little remote on his side that he's running the show. I would think in the midst of this thing, what's going on, that if Manoah was calling his pitches on the mound, that would have been the first thing to go in this situation, because it I'll just point to none other than somebody else that's been having some recent success, and Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah.
Took the whole thing right out of the equation. Just put your, you know, give me the symbol, I'm throwing it.
Yeah, which is a big improvement, right? Because he was up and down last season, and now he's like the winningest pitcher on the Jays right now, right? I think he's like 6-2.
He's been having some, you know, ups and downs too. Yeah. But the ups and downs, I would say, are what you're expecting from Yusei Kikuchi. You weren't expecting him to be an ace, and that is a correct statement. But in the midst of that, I'll point to even other recent Blue Jays fandom, Mark Buehler from the, you know, 2015-2016 Toronto Blue Jays, was famous for just, you tell me what pitch to go, and I'm going to throw it. And that happened repetitively. And a lot of that was Russell Martin calling a good game. But to that point, the Blue Jays have two great pitch callers in Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen. Yeah. And we even saw the other night with Tyler Heineman, the, you know, now substitute catcher with Danny Jansen on the injured list. Mm-hmm. Same thing. He called a great game with Yusei Kikuchi on the mound the other night. So I don't think that's the problem.
So it's not, so in this point then, so now it's the catcher that dictates what to throw. And like you said, the pitcher can either say yes or no to it. But generally, like you said, in Kikuchi's case, he's like, you just tell me what to throw and I'll throw it. Versus some other players that are, no, they want to kind of know what, they want to kind of say, I want to throw this, that, and the other. I remember hearing a podcast where Roger Clemens was like that. Like he really wanted to.
Roger Clemens would shake off a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
You would see him notoriously, nope, I know what I want. Just get to the sign I want. It was kind of that constant, nope. Oh, there it is. Okay, go. And then he would go back and start throwing. And Blue Jays fans got to see that for two Cy Young Award winning years too.
Which might lead the point then, is it maybe if he, they should try to let him run with it if he wasn't already. So right now we have, you have Jansen, Kirk, and sorry, what's the third guy's name?
Heineman.
So I guess maybe when they bring him back and let him see if he can start, maybe let him call a game or two. Right now, we have to keep in mind, depends on the team that we're going to play against. If we're going against, like, you know, a really heated rival, maybe we continue with what we're doing. Or if we're, like, testing him out again, if we're against the White Sox, okay, yeah, you call it. Let's see how you do.
The only pitcher I've noticed on the Blue Jays pitching staff that's actually calling their game is Chris Bassett.
Yes.
Every reliever has been taking it as the catcher tells them to do it. Yeah, you'll see him shake off a sign here and there, but... Oh, sorry. Signal, I guess, at this point, because it's a radio. So the pitchers have been chipped. That's all you get.
So, sorry. How does Chris Bassett do it? Because right now, the catchers have the little thing on the arm, and listeners can't see it, but I'm lifting my arm up, and they're just looking at it, and they're going to sign the pitcher to what to throw.
It's that same remote that the catchers are wearing. Chris Bassett goes to the mound with one on his belt.
Okay.
So when he's throwing, he just kind of goes. You see him kind of like turn sideways and you see him reach down a little bit and he does one of these and then comes to the mound. Yep. So
okay.
It's the same thing. It's a dual communication. It's about what they had, because even when Kirk or Jansen were making a call, they had the headset and the catcher's gear too. It's the same one that the pitcher's hiding there so that they make sure that they sent the right thing. You know what I mean? So being the tech nerd, I'm still waiting for somebody to hack that shit. But
it's you know what? If the Astros are able to do it, I'm sure someone else will be able to figure it out some way, shape, or form. You know.
So, but to that point, that's a whole nother conversation of bagel.
We're not going to get into that one.
Horrible that we can talk about some other time when it finally happens. I'm just predicting it.
Yeah. It's going to happen again.
Yeah. So in the midst of everything, though, he gets sent down to the minor leagues. The Blue Jays bring back up Bowden Francis, who that actually was part of the Roddy Tellez trade. This is the other part of the Roddy Tellez trade that everybody forgets that we just happen to have gotten. But Bowden Francis has actually put a decent minor league career as a Blue Jay together, but he has not been able to stay healthy. It's the very pitching version of Danny Jansen. He's done some good things on the minor league level. Just can't stay on the mound all the time. And it's not arm injuries. It's like, you know, I think one time he got hit in the shin with a ball, missed like a bunch of games, you know, a line drive that came back at him. It's like circumstantial, just playing baseball injuries, right?
Yeah.
Finally gets called up to the majors. He's in the bullpen right now, but the big question on all Toronto Blue Jays fans, other than how is Alek Manoah doing? Is Alek Manoah getting any better? Is who's going to pitch for Alek Manoah? Because now there's a giant hole in our starting rotation again.
I mean, we could get away with four, right? But it just means there's just going to be our main four going to have to work more innings more frequently, pretty much, right? And yeah, shorter rest. Well, I mean, when's Park coming? When's Ryu coming back? We're not going to put him as a starter.
Soon enough on that part.
and he's not going to start right away either, right? Is he even doing any? Is he in Florida training now yet or no?
He's honestly probably going to be hanging out with Alek Manoah rather often. It's a good thing the two of them are all buddy-buddy. So maybe that'll work out and help him out. You never know. Because like I said, Ken, if this is something truly between the years for Alek Manoah, you never know what that final switch is actually going to be. And maybe it is. He just misses his BFF from 2021 in Hyunjin Ryu. So it could be as simple as that. But that last I heard, Ryu and another gentleman that is on the Blue Jays injured list right now that has still not played a game as a Toronto Blue Jay in Chad Green. He's the reliever that we signed over the offseason that used to be a good Yankees reliever that is coming back from Tommy John surgery.
I was about to ask. He still has Tommy John, right?
Yes, or it was a shoulder. I want to say it was Tommy John, but either way, pitching arm injury. And both of them were most recently seen by the Toronto Blue Jays when we were in Tampa. So they are actively working at the Player Development Center there in Dunedin. So there's a couple of major league presences that are very seasoned with Alek Manoah trying to get better. There's some, like I said, there's still some secret method to the madness here. You eventually get those all three of those guys back, and this rotation and bullpen is looking extremely different. So yeah. It is what it is. But for the short term, go ahead.
Yeah. Do we have anyone on the current roster that maybe has a middle reliever that maybe could take in? Or do you think we should just call somebody up from the minors to kind of fill in that spot?
My guess is in an ideal world, you would have had Bowden Francis healthy and he would have been stretched out. Right now, I don't think he gets you more than two or three innings. To that point, I've seen it all over Blue Jays Twitter, and it's already driving me nuts. And apparently I'm not the only one, because it's a very heated button heads kind of thing. You got Nate Pearson. Look how good he's doing. Make him a starter again. Stop it. No. It's not broke. Don't fix it.
How many innings does Nate really do? Because he's performing really well for the Jays right now, right?
I think he's in the 20-inning ballpark at this point. But think about that. He's only been in the majors again for a month. And you want to throw a new, crazy, weird challenge in it, and that he hasn't done in two full seasons? He hasn't pitched as a starter in even the minor leagues in over a year. So, yeah.
And he's already 3-0. Look at that. He's undefeated.
Yeah, and then the other fact on that whole thing is he was not prepped in spring training, Ken, as a starting pitcher. He was told, you're going to be in the bullpen. Keep him in the damn bullpen.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to jump to that idea, but like I said, you can't just wean someone off of being a starter to being focused on the bullpen and then say, oh, you know what? Go back and start. You know, I don't know if that makes much sense.
But I would think in the very, very short term, they're going to do the opener thing for the first time Alek Manoah's spot comes up here in a few days. They're going to, maybe they'll start Nate Pearson, but they're only looking for two innings out of him. And then you bring in Bowden Francis for two innings. Then you bring in Trevor Richards for two innings. You know, you just keep throwing that for that first time is what it's starting to look like in Blue Jays media and news, which great. I don't care. But they just lost Drew Hutchinson, said, nope, peace, I'm out of here. He's no longer in the Blue Jays minor league system. I don't know if that's because that had something to do with the opt-out clause in the contract he had. By X date, if he wasn't in the majors, he was allowed to become a Major League Baseball, minor league baseball free agent again. So he took advantage of that. To that point, that sucks. Horrible timing, because he could have gotten like he got released the same day this news came out. So it was like, shit.
So we got, there's a lot of things, a lot of directions we can go with this. Like you said, there's either use our bullpen and just only give them a couple of innings each. There's either one, throw Pearson back, which I know you're not a big fan of, because
I'm fine if it's the opener thing. That I don't have a problem with, but I don't want to see him trying to go like this with how many innings he can be good in. He's so good right now. And my thing is with him, Ken, right now, if he continues this escalation that he's on right now, he is a perfect pairing with Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano at the end of a ball game. Just it's lights out now. And you have nothing but gas coming at bullpen.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Because like the thing too, like when you think about the guys from the bullpen, what is their main goal? There are some that are the setup guys, and there's the one that are the closers. So where does Pearson fall into that? Is he the setup guy? Is he the closer? Or is he in that middle guy that sets up the setup guy to set up the closer? Which one is he?
Right now, he is a setup guy and trending in that direction. In my personal opinion, he's not officially a setup guy. He is what they would call a middle relief guy right now, which is just he fills in if the starter screws up to get to your setup and closer. It's that go from here to there kind of thing. And to that point, but he's shown the stuff that you would want in a setup or a closer guy in that bullpen. And he misses bats is what we've been seeing from Nate Pearson, right? When you're talking about late inning ball games, things are close. You don't want the other team to put the ball in play. Even you want somebody like Nate Pearson to just blow people away, or at least make it hard to make good contact with. He just had the first outing where somebody finally made some good contact on him this week. And unfortunately, that went for a really big home run for the opposition really quickly in the game we lost the other night. But it is what it is at that point. You know, the Astros found a way to get to him, and they got to him. Good teams do that. But he did the exact opposite of that to the Mets over the weekend, who we swept. And he was on the mound for a good chunk of those innings, including another two-inning performance. So,
well, you know, I think the reason why we lost to the Astros is because they cheated. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm assuming. They must have done something.
I didn't hear any trash cans, Ken.
But let me ask you this before we get to the next topic, though.
Yeah.
So as a pitcher, like I've never pitched before, and you know, but what is the goal of the pitcher in terms of, you know, when you're saying I'm going to be a pitcher, like, do you want to be the starter? Do you want to be the relief, the closer? Like, does any of the setup guys or the middle relievers get any of the glory? Because it's either the starting pitcher or it's either the closer that gets all the glory. So, you know, do you feel like you're not, I mean, you're a part of the team and you're part of the, you know, to get there, but I find I don't really hear too much of the middle relievers as much.
I don't think pitchers strive to be middle relievers. If you look at the guys that make the Baseball Hall of Fame, like you just said, Ken, it's starting pitcher and closers. You don't find the guy that was just amazing in the middle, you know, but the Blue Jays have had in a great tenure of guys that are amazing in the middle that on probably other Major League Baseball teams would be closers. The one that comes to mind right now off the top of my head is we saw Brett Cecil in 2015 was one of the best left-handed relievers in all Major League Baseball in 2015. And it really hurt losing him in the playoffs because not having a lefty reliever against a very left-handed hitting Kansas City Royals kind of hurt.
Yeah.
So if you can't tell, I'm still tense about it. But But how do you, you know, like I said, it's just one of those things. I don't think you strive to be that person. And the old baseball mantra, I think this has changed, is the guys that went in the bullpen were the guys that couldn't make it as a starting pitcher. I think that mantra has shifted to that point where since the 2013-2014 era of what I'd say current baseball stuff outside the shift, because the shift isn't no longer bullpens have reformed the game of baseball to exactly somebody like Nate Pearson. Come out, throw gas, get us to the end of the damn game as quick as humanly possible. And those arms that do what he does or just can find ways to miss bats, kind of very similar to what we've been seeing from a very resurgent Trevor Richards. I don't know what he's found all of a sudden again, but he's looking just as good as some of these guys that we were talking about. I don't know if you've gotten to see him recently, but that changeup is just diving out of the zone and nobody's touching it.
Yeah, I mean, he's really performing well for the Jays. I mean, hell, he's got 42 strikeouts already in just 27 innings. So I'm like,
he's a guy that didn't strike anybody out before this year.
I know.
It's just like, what is going on?
What was the name of that pitcher we talked about a few episodes ago that could throw like over 100 miles an hour, but he's in AAA right now? I think he's with the Bisons.
Yeah, I'll see if I can remember who that was. I think we might have been talking about Zaleta.
Yeah, maybe it's that one.
And then there's another gentleman that we picked up, and I'm blanking on the name right now, but I'll figure it out here. Hagen Danner.
Oh, okay.
I think we were talking about who just got promoted to Buffalo when we were having that conversation.
Okay.
Funny thing about him, and I don't think most Blue Jay fans know this, he's actually, funny enough, on the 40-man roster right now because the Blue Jays were going to lose him a couple of years ago to the Rule 5 player draft, which happens February-ish every year right before the baseball season starts, because he was a catcher. He was a catcher. He came through most of the Toronto Blue Jays system as a position player, and that position being catcher. It wasn't panning out with him for the bat, and they knew how good his arm was, and they asked him, hey, do you want to take a shot at, you know, being a bullpen arm? And sure enough as shit, he's been crushing it since he took over that role. And the biggest thing that's developing for him is he's starting to find his control, hence the reason he's kind of flying through the Blue Jays minor league system this current season. So
he's not ready though, right? He's not ready.
I would say he needs some seasoning in Buffalo, but if he continues doing what he's been doing in Double A with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, it's gonna be hard to keep him there.
Oh yeah.
We need an arm.
We definitely need an arm right now, because right now we can't seem to rely on everyone else because everyone is kind of doing their part. You know, so we needed Alec to really be showing up there. But
But the next best pieces for the Alec Manoah, back to where this whole fun rigmarole that we were talking about here started. Getting back to where we were talking about, there's nothing in the cupboard. So unless you're going to try and grab some random pitcher off of, you know, waivers from another team that just dropped some random guy, or we're hoping to get the best out of somebody like Thomas Hatch, who Blue Jays fans have seen, Casey Lawrence, who Blue Jays fans have seen. It's those kind of guys that are the, I'd say, next up as a true starting pitcher at the minor league level. So you're missing that next big crazy arm. The Blue Jays don't have that big pitching prospect like Manoah was a few years ago, just ready to go in AAA.
Yeah.
Not there. Okay. So as much as every Blue Jay fan would love to see what we keep hearing from Ricky Tiedman in the AA level, that's not even stop. It's not close enough unless you want to break him and watch something similar happen.
Yeah, I think you said the seasoning, it's just getting the reps in. It's like they're performing really well. What are the dangers of bringing them up too soon? Is it more of a physical thing or a psychological thing where it's up in the brain, right? Okay.
Mentally prepared for it. You know, most major league developers or teams in the minor league system actually like to see their players go through a slump at the minor league level. Because then when they get to the major league level, they understand how to make adjustments and move.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do that idea. Case in point, Vladdy didn't have that problem at all in the minor league system. And he finally had it when he got up to the majors a little bit. And then you saw him literally destroy the gym and come out to be Super Vlad. Yeah, you know what I mean? And then we get to see all what we've been seeing. We're starting to finally see him catch back up a little bit here over the last week too. But those adjustments, even Bo Bichette went through a big slump when he went from AA to AAA for a bit there. So I was actually surprised they promoted him from AA to AAA with the slump he was having in AA at the time when they promoted him. I saw him and I'm like, I see where the talent is. I saw him here playing against the Binghamton Mets and here not too far from where I live. And I enjoyed watching him in the field, but I didn't see it with the bat that game I happened to be at. But when I saw him in Lansing the year before, I was like, oh, this guy's the next best thing. I was still right, just like many Blue baseball prospect people were. But to that point, like I said, you want them to kind of hit that wall when they have the sheltering of, you know, minor league baseball and all their coaches and not being obliterated by big city media like Toronto. And I think that's honestly the downfall of a lot of players. You see it in Major League Baseball all the time. Somebody was crushing it with the Oakland A's. They go to the New York Yankees and can't handle it. Because New York media eats everybody alive.
Oh, so. Boy. Okay, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. Just because, you know, I think for a lot of people, of course, they would love to just jump straight into it. But because thinking, especially if they think they got it. But like you said,
if they
have it,
ready. Great.
Yeah. Maybe show up for that one inning. And great. But
good example for you. Julio Rodriguez of the Seattle Mariners. I don't know if you saw how much he did last year, but this guy was all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh my God, it's Ken Griffey Jr. 2.0. And he's having a really rough go in season two after being the AL Rookie of the Year. So it is, baseball is a fickle beast, man. You just got to, you know, pay your dues and work your way through everything. And it's a game of changes, pitching, hitting, fielding, no matter what. The same approach one day doesn't work the next day. And it's amazing how players get around that.
I think the fact that too, you had 162 game season, so you have the time to adjust. But the question is, you know, do you recognize when to adjust? Right. Everyone can say, "Oh, yeah, I can change here, there." But if you've been playing a certain way for a while, you know, are you going to double X your performance by doing like something big? No, you have to do it. Like, it's very small increments to see a small increment of improvement. Sorry. So. You know, we'll see how it goes, and let's hope for Manoah it's just a small little improvement that he just needs to tweak on, because he's got the heat if he needs it, he's got the physicality, that's not an issue, and we'll see how it goes. But
it's putting it all back in the bottle, so you have lightning in the bottle again, right? And that's the catch right now. It's all over the place. I have all the utmost confidence in the world that he's going to find a way to do that, and I think it will be sooner rather than later. It depends on the help he gets too. It's amazing what a fresh pair of eyes will do for a Major League Baseball player or even a kid at that point. I used to do hitting instructing lessons on the side for little league players. And, you know, I'd have a family come and say, hey, you know, we were doing great last year. We don't know what happened. And then, you know, you spend the right set of time with the right person. It's amazing sometimes what you'll understand and find out. And that's what happened to Roy Halladay back in the day. He found the minor league coach or the roaming Blue Jays pitching coach at the time. The name is slipping my mind, but it was the right set of eyes. Hey, why don't you try this? You know, it could take that.
I mean, it can't get any worse.
Worst case scenario, try it for a game now at the minor league level and see what happens.
So let's talk about the actual Jays aside from Alec Manoah. We've been kind of harping on him. It's just because you always want what's best for the team, and we want Manoah to succeed. But the Jays have been doing really well, actually, over the last few series. Like, we won the series in Minnesota. We won it in Milwaukee. Yep. We swept the Mets. And so far we're splitting against the Astros. Cheers. But, you know, they've been – I think that's what we talked about last episode, is that we don't have to win every game. We got to at least either win a series or split a series. We just don't want to lose a series.
Yes, and that will keep us going. And to that point, the Blue Jays played very good Cito Gaston baseball over the last week, winning two series. And like you said, at the current moment where we're recording this Wednesday evening on June 7th, it is tied 0-0 in the bottom of the third, and the Blue Jays won one against the Astros, and they've lost one against the Astros. Unfortunately, like we mentioned, the one game was Alec Manoah getting lit up like a Christmas tree for the first inning, and he only gets two outs. But the bullpen actually kept us in that game, and there was a couple times in that game watching it, Kenny. I couldn't believe I was still watching it. But I was sitting there watching them. Like, they keep putting so close to getting some offense going and then running away. There's a point in the second or third inning of that game where they managed to get all the bases covered with Blue Jays. And it was only with one out, and we somehow did what we've been doing all season, which is still leaving too many runners in scoring position. But yeah, the chance was there.
Well, it's getting the opportunity is one thing, capitalizing is another. And, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, we should be, you know, one of the best hitting teams, and it should become easy to us. But still, you know, maybe I don't know if it's that level of expectation that, you know, because we're such an offensively driven team that we can hit the ball. Now, that doesn't mean we hit the long ball all the time, but the fact that we make decent contact, we just can't transition those into runs, which means we can transition them into wins, right? Because how many games have we given up that?
Yeah, and I think that right there, what you mentioned too, with how we score runs, it's changed drastically from what basically Blue Jays history would say. This team has always been a long ball, first ball club. Doesn't matter what year you look at it. Take a look at the stats. The Blue Jays are somewhere in the 200 ballpark for home runs every season. It's actually quite shocking that we, throughout the tenure of Toronto Blue Jays fandom, that was pretty consistent once you got over the early expansion years in 77, 78, 79, yeah, and so on and so forth. It's been always the Blue Jays mantra. You can even look as early as the great outfield of Barfield, Bell, and
Crosby.
Mosby. I was thinking it was three B's for some reason for a second. I'm like, no, that's the Astros. But to that point, that's the mantra. It's always been that way. This team has shown over the last week, especially, that they can be very dangerous and beat you in many different ways. And that was actually what I tweeted out from our Twitter account on Sunday after we swept the series against the Mets, is this team has many ways to beat you, and they're going to find a way to steal and take the extra bases with their legs. It looked like over the last week, they finally figured out some of these base running glitches that they've been having over the last few weeks, Ken, where they're just running into outs. We were running into extra bases and stealing and taking every advantage of every team we could take.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's exciting times right now. You know, like I said, we're hopefully we're tied right now with the Astros. Hopefully we'll push past them. And then we're back against Minnesota after that. So, and then Baltimore. So it's going to be a bit of a tough one. So Minnesota, I'm not too worried about Minnesota. I know we won this series. Not to say that it's going to be a foregone conclusion, but if we can keep the momentum up, then I think we should be okay.
Yeah. And to that point, I think they have a chance to keep the momentum up unless the Twins find something over the next week. They've been looking a little rough. I feel bad for them.
Isn't the Twins also more like a home run first club? I could have sworn when I was watching a few of their games that the commentators were mentioning that they hit a lot of home runs. There's just a lot of them are just mainly solo or home runs.
It's been a dry spell. And yeah, you could see that even when they beat us or tried to beat us a few games too. So it'll be interesting. I'm more worried about that Orioles series. But to that point, the other mantra I keep saying about everything lately, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to listen to Pat Schulman and just be like, you know, one day at a time, one series at a time. Don't worry about anything else. Woosa.
I was going to say, is he back now? Is Schulman back?
Yes, Schulman is back. Okay. And him and Siddle has been in the booth. It's been everything it's supposed to be. It makes me happy. But yes.
Yeah, because I was listening to a few of the games where they had the Raptor guy. And like I said, he is not bad. He's good for basketball. Yeah. Maybe hockey. But baseball, he's a little too excited.
Yeah,
he's a little too excited for the littlest things.
If he was the one that I would only listen to as a Blue Jay fan, I would have been actually quite happy, you know. But the problem is, like I said, I feel like we're very, very spoiled with our announcing. Even on the radio, Ben Wagner is amazing for announcing a baseball game. So we're, like I said, we're a little spoiled, and we get to be jaded on, you know, coming down on him a little bit, I guess. But it is what it is. hopefully, on that note, thankfully, Shulman doesn't take too many days off.
Has he confirmed like that he's now dedicated Blue Jay announcer?
Yes, he actually, for most of his responsibilities, I think he actually quit ESPN. I think he, as far as baseball goes, I know he does some other work for ESPN, but he's like, nope, I'm good with the Blue Jays. I get to hang out with Buck Martinez and Joe Siddle every day. That's strangely good, you know?
Yes, yes.
And not to mention when they're at home, you know, I honestly love the fact that what Sportsnet's done recently too with Jamie Campbell and Caleb Joseph. I love the two of them together. They're great. So it's been fun to watch. So yeah. Ben, I actually like Caleb Joseph more than just our little two claps of Ric Flair at the end of the show. That's where I stole it from.
Yeah. Oh, really? But yeah, I almost wanted to give him a fist bump from the when we were at the game last time. I saw him, we were walking. Yeah. You were at, my kids were getting ready to run the bases, so we're walking by. We walked by the sports net, and he was just pointing at that little section there, and he was right there. He was eating a sandwich, and I was like, "Should I bother him? He's eating a sandwich." I'll leave him alone.
Next time you're at the ballpark and you want to tell a story, you can be like, hey, I'm on the Jay Bird Watching podcast, and thank you for the two claps and the Ric Flair.
Okay. I'll remember to say that next time. Hopefully we get to see him again.
Yes. So on that note, I wanted to make sure that we did discuss some of the other things that have been going. Like I mentioned that we gave a little props to Trevor Richards, who has been completely amazing in the bullpen and clearly earned some leverage, or he's been kind of the long guy out of the bullpen. I'm good with that too. So he's shown that he's been consistent. But I cannot say enough good things for what Kevin Gausman has done for this rotation. And oh my God, Kenny, you talked the first game of the Astros series, all Blue Jays fans were hurting. Our hearts were, you know, in the pit of our bellies at that point, watching what has become with Alek Manoah. And this is before the news broke at that point. Kevin Gausman does what a true ace does for a staff and stops the slide. He turns the frown upside down, however you want to put it. But oh my God, Ken, that game, another 13 strikeout night from Kevin Gausman. That's he's now tied, I think, three times his career high this season.
113 strikeouts for the year in about, you know, 13 games. Like I said, almost 10 strikeouts a game, pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, what is his style? Because is he a guy, I guess what I'm thinking of, like, the presence of someone that's going to strike you out. You're thinking of I'm thinking way back, like the Randy Johnsons, where they had this thing to him. What is it about Gausman? He's not a finesse guy, right? Like, he's not going to throw junk, but he can hit it almost every single spot. But he doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be like a, you know, that's going to be throwing like a wild thing where they're throwing like 100 mile an hour bombs.
Yeah, it doesn't need to pull Durham and hit the ball or anything like that. But no, Kevin Gausman is a live or die by the splitter. And so far, this guy has been nothing but lights out with the splitter. And what he's doing perfectly to offset that insane dive that he's been getting out of that splitter, Kenny, is the fact that he has been pinpointing his fastball, which is a good fastball. So you talk about he's not just throwing. Last year, and to his point, he was very good at throwing the ball where he needed to, but it was how he was mixing some of that stuff up, I think, which was still amazing. As you saw what he did last year, and I'm not digging him for his last year season at all. He was already at this kind of a level. He somehow found a way to get another ceiling going. You know, he's pinpoint locating that same fastball at the bottom of the strike zone this year. So now a hitter is sitting there going, okay, great. Am I going to get the fastball in that location, or am I going to get the splitter that's going to dive another 7 inches? That's not even a strike anymore. Know what I mean? How do you hit that? It's insane. It doesn't work. And to that point, I think it's this weekend that the Blue Jays, or a few weekends, the Blue Jays' next big promo that they're having is the Kevin Gausman replica jerseys, but it's a splitter jersey.
Really?
It's split down the middle, and it's half white and half blue. So
ever works.
I thought that was a great promo. Whoever came up with that, genius. But that pitch has been insane. And then he mixes in just enough other pitches to screw with the hitter's timing. So he's not just throwing all gas and all splitters at the same speed. He throws a little bit of a change up in here and there just to mess with hitters as timing goes and puts it in those same places. It's hard to hit because you don't know if it's going to go fast, slow, up, down, left, right, dive 15 feet. Well, it's hard to hit.
Do you remember that 20-1 game that we beat Tampa Bay in? Do you recall, like, there was a couple of pitchers that on the Devil Rays that it was almost, I felt like it was like a batting cage level speed where it was like really, really slow. It was like maybe 50 miles an hour.
Was that before the pitcher came, or like the position player came in pitching?
So it could have been a couple of the position guys.
Yes, a couple of the position guys came in.
So those weren't actual like main pitcher guys. Those were like someone from the bench.
It was their right fielder.
Why?
Why waste one of your bullpen arms when you're already getting slammed that badly? That is the exact motivation.
Well, do you remember when Jose Canseco did? I remember when he did it for like, I think the Rangers back in like
shoulder problems or that.
Yeah, and I think I remember Canseco. This is way back when he actually pitched, and I think he got injured from doing it. His elbow or something with his shoulder. He was gone for like a few weeks after pitching. And I'm like,
I just think it's funny he got hurt from pitching and not the home run ball off his head that I was actually a witness to, by the way. I was at that game in Cleveland. It was insanely hilarious because something my dad and are at the game and we didn't even know what happened. And we're like, how'd that ball go over the fence? Because you saw it go down. You saw the ball go down. You didn't see it go. And all of a sudden, the whistles and everything are going off and the ball was magically over the ball. We're like, what's going on? Because I was on the third base side. This happened in right field. And like I said, I'm, knee high to a duck. I was a kid.
Yeah.
The word travels around because this is before they had nice screens in ballparks, especially in Cleveland there. Because this wasn't Jacobs Field. This is the old War Memorial Stadium where the movie Major League was filmed. And the word actually traveled around the ballpark. Oh my God, it hit its head. It went over the fence, and then we went and saw it on SportsCenter later that night.
Yeah. But sorry, back to Gausman. Is he a Cy Young potential or MVP at this point?
Right now, if you had to say who the Cy Young is right now, I would think you'd be hard-pressed to find many people in Major League Baseball that wouldn't be thinking Kevin Gausman.
He's in the running for sure.
Yes. And right now, honestly, to this point, Kenny, the fans don't get to vote for the pitcher in the All-Star game, but I don't see how you go another direction. Usually the Major League Baseball starter for each league in the All-Star game is picked by who's the best pitcher right now in Major League Baseball. In the American League, you'd be hard-pressed to say it's not Kevin Gausman. He's leading the league in strikeouts. He's leading the league in innings pitched. I know the wins category has kind of bit him in the ass a little bit because the Blue Jays have shorted him on some runs, even in his last outing. but he's found ways to do a very, very damn good job. And it's great to see. And to that fact that I can't recall. You got to go back to Roy Halladay for the last time a Blue Jays pitcher started the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
So there's been plenty of Blue Jays pitchers that have made the All-Star game. That is not
even Clemens never started the game for the Jays in the All-Star.
But Halladay would have came after. But yes, that happened. I'm just saying the most recent person was probably Roy Halladay, or to your point, it might be Roger Clemens. So
be surprised.
Was the last Blue Jay to pitch well in an All-Star game was Jay Happ. So I just showed you how long ago that was.
It's a little bit of wiles. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, but to that point, really good stuff. Romano got in last year, but he only threw a few pitches and then was out. But it was things like that. So, but to that point right now, if you're looking at this team, Kenny, pick your Blue Jays All-Stars for me. Who are you thinking makes it to right now? There's a certain gentleman that's actually leading most of the votes from what I've been hearing.
Yeah. So I think for sure, from the pitching side, I was going to say from the batting side first, but batting side, I can probably say Bichette is definitely the one right at this point. He's on the All-Star team. They still might bring Vladdy in just for the fact that he has that name recognition. So they think, they might put him in as well.
Yeah, the stand voting too. So you never know. Yeah. They're, unlike every other team in Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays have a wonderful country that gets to vote for their whole team, not just little cities.
Absolutely, right? And from the pitching, it's hard to go against Gausman right now. I mean, if you try to go based on record, yeah, Kikuchi might. But at this point, in terms of dominance and, you know, stats and everything, you have to look at Gausman.
Yeah. I think those are your two locks to be Toronto Blue Jays yes. All-Stars this year. And depending on where everything goes. So the new rules for the All-Star game actually have changed this year. The fans still vote for the main starters. So, like I said, right now, Bogstad's one of the leading vote getters. So yes. My guess is he's a lock for shortstop. Wander Franco is the only other shortstop on the ballot that's even in the ballpark of Bobichet currently, from what they were talking about during the ball game the other day. Like I said, they don't vote for pitchers. That's decided. That just happens. I think it's a player vote or a secret ballot, something. I don't know. But then the first wave of reserves are going to actually be picked by the players this year, which I think is pretty exciting, because the players are going to vote for the guys that deserve to be on the bench to come into the All-Star game, not just hoping and praying that you get the right people in. And then they're going to use a couple of remaining picks. Like, I think they're reserving three picks that won't, or three position players or pitchers or whatever, that won't be picked by the fan voting or the player voting, so that they can make sure that there's a player from every team represented at the All-Star game, which is something they've always done a really good job with in Major League Baseball. If you have a crummy team one year, you want to have something to root for. At least if you get to the All-Star game and it's like, yeah, that's my guy, you get a chance to see if he, you know, shows amongst all the other stars in Major League Baseball. Maybe it's the guy that wins the home run derby even. You never know, right?
Never know.
So, but that's, I agree with you that those are the two next picks and are the two main picks. And then I didn't really think about it this way until I was watching the game last night, but Whit Merrifield stands out at second base pretty well.
He's actually doing really, really well, actually. Last time I checked, I'm like, he's still batting 300. I'm like, holy crap, he's hitting the ball really well. Like, he's not meant to be like a, you know, a 20 home run guy, but he's constantly getting on base.
Yep.
You know, like, it's just great.
The other person, I'm actually going to give credit where credit's due and eat my own words a little bit, because he's not done what I said he was going to do. Kevin Kiermaier.
Where's Jason when you need him? So, yeah.
I'll make sure I send him a clip of this part.
Yeah.
But to that point, I never said he was a bad player.
No.
I was wondering why you were going after a guy that's been perennially hurt the last 3-4 seasons. Thankfully, he's made me eat my words and then proving to the point why he deserved a true shot with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Knock on me, wood.
It was one of those things that just seemed, yeah, knock on desk. I cannot say enough good things at this point. Am I going to ever forgive him truly for the whole sign card stealing thing? No. But to that point, I'm giving credit where credit's due. And Kevin Kiermaier has been a godsend so far for this Blue Jays lineup, especially turning it back around to a now getting red hot George Springer. So that's been...
Yeah, he's really starting to stroke the ball well. Like, he's almost at 10 home runs already, which is great. Because, you know, even though we're not the long ball team, we still got a few guys that are really close. Like, you know, Bichette's hit 13. Yeah. You got Varsho. Wow, he's hitting 11. Vlad's going to hopefully break his streak. I know he broke his streak, I think, yesterday, you said. It took a month to do it, but I can see him hitting. He's almost at 10. He's almost at 10 home runs.
Bichette has back-to-back home runs in 2 days again. Just saying, he hit another one tonight. Because now it's not 0-0 anymore, Kenny, but it's top of the five, and it's 1-2, unfortunately. We're not winning.
But Bichette hit another home run at least.
Yes, we have that there to celebrate. Go. And to that point, it's still a one-run ball game, and Bassett's still doing incredible, by the way. So yes. Anyway, and it was a one bad pitch at this point, and he threw it to the hottest hitter on the Houston Astros, and that's Yordan Alvarez, who is going to be an all-star, just saying, for this conversation.
He is. I remember him last year during the playoffs. Yeah, I remember him during the playoffs last year. He was like, I think he's going to be the MVP, or he's going to hit the ball really well and stuff like that. So, yeah, Alvarez is really good.
Yeah. So as we wrap up the show here, Kenny, before I give you my last little tidbit here, if I'm going to, you know, crush your brain from Blue Jays awful, horrible nightmare pass and see if you like this idea or not, or if you recall this gentleman, is there anything else you would like to chit-chat about this evening before we go off the air?
No, I want to hear what you have to say. So, no, I'm good.
So, Blue Jays Twitter is obviously, as I mentioned earlier, wondering who becomes the fifth starter. Mm-hmm. There is a certain ex-Devil Ray that was an ace at one point that is all of a sudden out on the free agent wire, very similar in the Drew Hutchinson ballpark I just mentioned a few minutes ago. Hmm. The Twins released him. He is no longer a Minnesota Twin. They let him out of his contract. I can't find the actual detail, but Chris Archer is all of a sudden a free agent. Hmm. Somebody that could eat some innings. I'm not saying he would be amazing, what we as Blue Jays fans feared and remember when he was in the Rays uniforms, but it's a guy right now that is it worth taking a flyer on? It's somebody that, you know, maybe the right guy unlocks it to the point.
How's
where
he doing this year? You said he's been released.
He has not pitched in Major League Baseball this season.
Okay.
But he's a guy that has Major League Baseball stuff. And like I said, he's kind of in that same Drew Hutchinson ballpark. He probably has enough left in the tank to get you something. I'm trying to pull up our baseball reference page right now so I can see when the last time he actually pitched at the major league level was. But I'm pretty sure he pitched last year with the Twins.
Because we could offer him a lot of money, right?
No, this is a minor league deal or a major league deal with very low money, minimum kind of little thing. Because he hasn't thrown above 100 innings. Well, he's barely thrown 100 innings in the last two seasons. Hmm. So, but to that point, I'd say salvageable. But right now,
be a surprise.
The question, Ken, is he better than those two guys that we were talking about with Thomas Hatch or Casey Lawrence? Mm-hmm. I would say probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just thought it was funny that a guy that the Blue Jays fans were screaming to sign probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Could finally be a Blue Jay.
Maybe. I mean, like you said, it depends on how Schneider and the GM and everything figure out what they think is the next fit for him. Because we don't know how long Manoah's gone for, right? They didn't say, yeah, you're good. Did they say it? Did they actually say it? Did they say how long he's going to be gone for?
They have not said any of that kind of thing in the media officially. And to that point, so, I think it's a get him right, get him back up here kind of situation. I really don't think they're going to try forcing the issue again because they've seen what that's done over the last, 6 weeks?
Yeah, so it's gonna take what it's going to take, right? Yeah. Until he feels and they feel.
Yeah. On that note, though, Archer's only 34.
Okay.
He's shown that he can get 100 innings. And honestly, right now, at this point, he just needs to be fifth starter. That's what you usually get from a fifth starter, is somewhere in the ballpark of 4.5 ERA in 100 innings. That's what he's thrown the last two seasons.
I mean, I don't see why not. If we got the money for it, and if we literally want to save our arms in the bullpen, then we feel that we have no one in AAA that we can call up that we think could be ready, then I would say go with Archer.
Yeah, right, I think you said the true safety net in Hyunjin Ryu, but we're not there yet. They were talking at earliest around the All-Star break. So you're talking July, pushing August. Wow. So you have another month here to fill in the gap at a minimum. So that would be the encompassing catch. So the Blue Jays aren't going to want to sit here and do what we were just talking about with piecing it together with bullpen arms for a bullpen day. Every fifth day, it'll kill them, especially for a contending team. If you're the Oakland A's right now, fine, great. You're moving to Vegas in 2 years. Just do what you need to do for now. But this team's competitive and in a very hot seat to perform. I think they're going to find somebody to slide into that spot that if they excel and Manoah finally finds it, you just move them to the bullpen and you have an extra asset in your hand. You know, I really think that's what the proper idea would be. But then again, I'm just a guy that has a podcast and barely makes any money doing it and just gets to hang out with his buddy once a week. But I think that's where they're going, Ken. But I'm not opposed to that idea. I actually kind of like what I'm reading on baseball Twitter, seeing that one. So that's a good time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of names like that in the bargain bin that would be worth dipping into.
I was one of those players. I'd be insulted if you call me from the bargain bin, right?
At this point in his career, I think a lot of those guys are happy just to be in the conversation, to be playing Major League Baseball at this point.
Yeah.
So funny enough, that's what Blue Jays almost did with Jay Happ for the third time he could have came back. He decided to retire apparently instead. So,
all right.
But hey, if you want to play Major League Baseball sometimes, you know, A lot of starters become bullpen guys at the end of their career. Is this how it is?
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Anyways, Ken, I think that's it. Other than I got this wonderful sheet that we need to fill in here for this week. And then we're done. Last week, the guest spot had Vlad. You had Bo Bichette. Springer was Jason's pick. And Alejandro Kirk was mine. And I think out of those guys, I think, sadly, I don't want to put it across the fifth spot on your list here, but I don't know how I argue with Bo Bichette.
Yes.
The flow is go.
The flow is go. There you go.
So I'm giving you the fifth pick or the fifth win here of your season. You are now continuing to blow everybody else out of the water, 5-2 to 1-1, with Jason being the only one that's got another win than me in the guest spot. So with Jason missing with us this week and the guest spot getting canceled last minute again, Springer and Vlad are off the board for your pick.
Okay, no problem. I think, you know what? Who my pick's going to be? I think Nate Pearson is going to be the person that's going to excel.
It's going to be a fun pick. I think that would be a good one for you because as far as this thing goes, it doesn't matter who you pick. If they have the best week amongst all these people get picked, great.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Nate Pearson, honestly, over even Bo Bichette last week would, oh no, not last week, but the week prior would have been a very solid pick because we had some rough weeks over the last few weeks in January.
Yeah, sweet lips. Like Pearson
and lights out. So
exactly. What are you gonna pick?
I think I'm gonna put my all-star piece into fun because I've been avoiding him like the damn plague here over the picking because of my horrible I will never buy his jersey thing. I think I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna continue to give credit where credit's due, and I'm gonna just put my money where my mouth is. I'm gonna put Kevin Kiermaier down on the sheet.
There we go.
So
he's gotta keep doing what he's doing, and we're okay. Yeah.
So to that point, like I said, I think I'm trending in the right direction. But like I said, I've also haven't had a week in, or a win in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks. So hopefully we'll get something going here.
It's just a matter of otherwise, time.
At a minimum, Ken, I'm not infecting any other Blue Jays bats with my horrible bad luck. So because KK has been doing well in the field, but he hasn't been doing as much with the bat over the last week. So worst case scenario, he stays right that way. And I'm not hurting anybody.
There you go.
So on that note, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for joining us again this evening on another lovely week of Toronto Blue Jays talk here on Jaybird Watching. Make sure you hit those like and subscribe buttons wherever you can find us. Also, we are live, like I said, every week. Join the chat. We are on YouTube Live, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, even funny enough. On that note, please come find us and chat with us. And then if you miss the show, make sure you join us for listening to the actual podcast, which is why we actually started doing this before we started doing a live show. We're on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasting pleasures for.
And Amazon.
If you haven't been exactly. If you haven't been reading the fun little ticker at the bottom here, if you want to be a guest on this show, please direct message us on Twitter at BirdwatchingGC. I will be scheduling fan chats, so you can be like our friend Leslie Nope. No, not Parks and Recreation Leslie Nope. Flight Deck Resident Leslie Nope. And join us on the show and just have a good fun chat here in the Toronto Blue Jays barroom chat that is Jaybird Watching. So, Ken, on that note, 1, 2, 3. Woo!
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Thank you for listening to the Jaybird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.